always acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome everyone to week number 9 of our preaching and life group series on unshakable hope. And remember our goal for this series. The Bible calls us not to see reality as it was or as it is or how we wish it to be, but as it truly is. And from the Bible's perspective, this life is relentless. We live in a raging sea, a torrent around us. Jesus says it best when he says, in this life you will have tribulation. Count on it. Bank on it. Tribulation is going to come your way. If you're not in the midst of tribulation right now, it'll come very soon, I guarantee you. So with that in mind, our goal in the series is to place spiritual anchor points, mooring ourselves on God's word and dropping our anchors in the deep protective harbor of God's grace and goodness. That is our unshakable hope, and is found in Holy Scripture. And the title of this week's lesson that we'll be talking about is Joy is Coming Soon. Joy is coming soon. So let's talk about joy in the next few minutes. I want to mention three things. The epidemic at hand. Number two, the difference between happiness and joy. Number three, the gospel that changes everything. So let's start the epidemic at hand. Please know that what I'm about to tell you is not professional advice. I am not a physician. I did not go to medical school. I do not play a physician on television. And I did not sleep in a Holiday Inn Express last night. So I have no credibility whatsoever except for God's word, and he gives me credibility. So I know only what I read about things like depression and anxiety and suicide and emotional suffering. I don't speak as a professional. But my heart goes out today to anyone in this church who suffers from any of these things. If you're lonely, anxious, afraid, or depressed, please seek therapy. There is no shame in that. If you are suffering, seek help. Do it today. But what I know as a clergy person and from Holy Scripture is that in America, we have a suffering epidemic of sadness. A sadness. One publication I read this week said that in the last decade, the last 10 years, American high school students feel, quote, persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness. 10 years ago, that was 26% of high school students. Today, it's 44% of high school students feel persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness. Almost half of our young people. When it comes to adults who feel anxiety and depression, it's about 60% of adults who say that within the last 7 days, they've been anxious, afraid, or depressed. 60% of adults. And we're bombarded with messages from Big Pharma, right? They will take care of you. They have hundreds of drugs to take care of you, like Zoloft, Prozac, Paxil, Cymbalta, Seroquel, Xanax, Lexapro, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Why so much sadness in the world? Why are almost half of our teens feeling persistent feelings of sadness and hopelessness? How do we regain our joy? How do we regain happiness? Well, biblically speaking, I think we've pursued the wrong question, because the search for happiness is a fool's errand. It's a fool's errand. We look for happiness by addressing serotonin levels in the mind through pharmaceuticals. We want that dopamine hit when we check out social media and we see the likes of people who enjoy our posts. We live life seeking happiness. So we numb life's pain through drugs and alcohol. We try desperately to lift our sadness up a bit, to put on a happy face, but it is a fool's errand indeed. I submit to you today, what if happiness was never meant to be the goal for Christians? What about if happiness is not our goal? You see, the Bible never promises happiness, does it? Happiness should never be the goal of Christians. It is joy that's in the Bible. And that's different, which leads me to point number 2. What's the difference between happiness and joy? C.S. Lewis wrote a lesser-known book called Surprised by Joy many years ago. Many of you know that C.S. Lewis was an atheist well into his adulthood, but once he met Jesus, everything changed. As an unbeliever, Lewis spent much of his time pursuing happiness through academic success, earthly friendships, his love of art and beauty, his love of music and nature. He thought these brief glimpses of happiness would allow him to go through the dark nights of the soul, which always come our way. But what he discovered is this: happiness came and left just as quickly as it came. It left him like a thief in the night. So the one thing that we know about happiness is it doesn't stay around very long. That is why we seek the dopamine hits throughout the day. Lift us up just a bit before we crash back down into reality. But once C.S. Lewis found Jesus, he found not happiness, but he was surprised by joy, hence the title. He had been searching for the wrong thing all along. He was searching for happiness, surprised by joy. Lewis writes, "Joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the business of God, the business of heaven." You see, happiness has to do with your circumstances, right? The circumstances around you that are oftentimes beyond our control, such as buy a new house. It'll make you happy. Until that house leaks and the ceiling falls in and the toilets overflow and the AC goes out, then happiness fades, right? Happiness is getting a new job that you're excited about until you find out that you're being overworked and underpaid and happiness fades. Buy that new car with that wonderful new car smell. It's so nice and you're so happy. Then the transmission fails and the door gets dings and the new smell wears off and happiness fades. Or you find that new boyfriend or that girlfriend and you're so excited about this new relationship and then you break up and you're left high and dry and happiness fades once again. You see, the difference is this. Happiness is totally based on our external circumstances. If life is going well, that's great. We're happy. Until it doesn't go well, and then we're not happy. Life will sap your happiness. But here's joy for you. Joy is different. Joy is not dependent on your circumstances. Joy cannot be earned through trying harder. It is a gift of God's grace through the person of Jesus. Joy is that deep sense of peace and contentment within the storms of life. The Bible never says that God's going to take away your storms. He said, "I'll be with you through the storm." When all the world seems to be imploding, joy is that peace in the midst of the storm. Joy is that peace in the midst of adversity. Joy is that foundational feeling rooted deeply in the soul. Happiness is here today, gone tomorrow. The devil can steal your happiness, but he cannot take your joy, because joy comes from the Lord. Joy is that deep sense of contentment in Jesus, that knowing him and knowing that he is unchangeable, that he is your solid rock in the midst of the storm, that his love remains steadfast no matter what tribulation you go through, that his claim on your life at baptism is irrevocable. You are a precious child of God, and he will walk with you through every storm. He is the foundation of all joy. When your situations fall apart, your Savior will not. Happiness will betray you every time. The joy of the Lord will not. St. Paul tells us boldly in Philippians 4, 11 to 13. He says this, "Now I am speaking of being in need." So he's talking about circumstances around him. "For I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content." I've learned how to be content within any circumstance. "I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It is Jesus that is the foundation of joy. Paul knew it. Whether he's up or down, whether circumstances were going right or not, he had the joy of Jesus deeply rooted in his heart. The devil can steal your happiness. The devil cannot steal your joy, for joy comes from the Lord. C.S. Lewis would later write in a sermon. He said, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. He said we are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. But like ignorant children, we go on making mud pies in the slum because we cannot imagine what would be offered to us in a holiday at sea. He says we're too easily pleased with the world around us. We're pleased with seeking happiness, not the joy that comes from the Lord. Drink and sex and ambition will never give you infinite joy. Only Jesus can do that. And true joy, Lewis would say, is just a prayer away. So I pray today, and for our baptism candidates, that they will be surprised by joy. And if they ever search for happiness, that Jesus will correct them and say, no, this is about joy in the Lord. From Psalm 30 today, we read, O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Don't you love that? Joy comes from the Lord. And if you will seek his face, joy will come to you. If you're in a night of weeping, I just encourage you to hang in there. Keep seeking his face. Your joy will return when the Lord Jesus returns to you. In verse 4, we're told, sing praises to the Lord, O you saints, and give thanks to his holy name. One of the ways that we increase joy in our life is prayer and worship and thanksgiving. Remembering everything that the Lord God has done for us, knowing his goodness will take us through every storm. In verse 12, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. That is where true joy is nurtured and found. Remembering God's goodness, giving thanks for each and every blessing, remembering to sing his praises with a great high voice, reading his holy word, spending time in his presence. These are the places where joy is cultivated. Joy comes from the Lord. My final point is the gospel changes everything. In John 15:5, Jesus says that I am the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is saying, abide in me. That's where joy and fruitfulness is found. And in that, I'm reminded of a woman 2,000 years ago that we meet in John chapter 4. This woman said to Jesus, sir, give me some water from this well so that I'll not be thirsty or have to come here ever again to draw water. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband. Tell him to come here with you. Well, as the story unfolds, you know that this woman had no husband. She had had 5 husbands along the way, and the man that she was shacking up with at this point was not her husband. We don't know what happened to all those husbands. They may have all died, but I doubt it. They may have all been unfaithful and left her high and dry, but I doubt that too. What we do know about this woman is that her soul was empty. She came to Jesus in the heat of the day, drawing water from that well, because she was the laughingstock of the town. She was embarrassed to be seen by the other villagers. She had been mocked, belittled, derided by her community. She didn't want to see people at that well. She had had many men in her life, and the man she was with now was not her husband. She was an empty shell, an empty soul, and all she wanted to do that day was get a drink of water. She wants to be happy. She wants to be satisfied. She cannot find happiness. Have you ever known somebody who went from relationship to relationship to relationship, always trying to find happiness when they're not happy inside, and they would never find happiness outside? It is joy that comes from the Lord. What Jesus offered her that day was not happiness, not even a drink of water for a moment in time, but true joy and true living water that lasts a lifetime. He said to her in verse 13, everyone who drinks of the water that you see in this well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give to him will never be thirsty again. And the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. She was looking for happiness, but like C.S. Lewis, she was surprised by joy at the well that day. Joy met her in the face of Jesus Christ. Joy was her gift of grace that day. She was able to abide with the Lord long enough to find the living waters that satisfy and delight the soul. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ can give you that kind of joy. Happiness is here for a moment. It's based on our circumstances. Joy is deep in the recesses of the heart. It does not go away. It will always be there, no matter what tribulation you're going through. And I'll give you one example, and I'll end with this. There's a man named Horatio Spafford who lived in the 19th century in Chicago. He was very successful, an attorney, had a great business. He's married, has five children. Then tragedy struck. In 1871, the Great Fire of Chicago burned down his business, burned it to the ground. That same year, his only son died of scarlet fever. Then, thinking that he would send his wife and his four daughters on a vacation to England, he sent them off on a boat. And as they approached the shores of England, the ship suffered a collision where 200 people died that day in that boat, including all four of Horatio's daughters. Only his wife survived, and she sent him a telegram, "I alone am saved. What shall I do?" So he set sail to England to find his wife. And when he made the long trip across the Atlantic, he saw the place where the ship had gone down. And the captain said, "That is where your wife and children sank into the sea." So get that. Horatio has left, lost five children. His wife barely survived. He's lost his business. He has absolutely no reason to be happy, but he had joy. He had joy. Remember, there's joy that is there in spite of our circumstances. And for Horatio, as he approached that place where his daughters died that day, he sat down and wrote a hymn of all things. And you know it well. "It is well with my soul." And it goes like this. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, lest this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul." How could you write a hymn like that at the place that your family went into the sea? It was not due to happiness. He had lost almost everything, his business, his children, the only thing that survived with his wife. But joy was deeper than his circumstances. Joy was deeper than the bitterness of his life. And he had the joy of the Lord deep in his heart. The devil may have stolen his happiness. The devil could not take his joy. So in Psalm 30, remember, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. On All Saints Day, on this day of baptism, where we welcome new folks into the family of God, I pray that you'll always know joy in your heart. Sometimes I hope it delights and gives you joy that you didn't even expect. I hope you're surprised by joy. These saints are the ones who persevere in the faith. You know, we read today about saints, and we typically think of them as people who do great deeds and wonderful things to other people, and they love God with their whole heart. But you know the definition of a saint in the Bible is someone who perseveres in faith through the darkest of nights with the joy of the Lord in their hearts. We get that image in Revelation chapter 7. John says this. He said, "One of the elders addressed me in heaven, and he said, 'Who are these in the white robes?'" Like baptized children. "Who are they and where have they come from?" And John says, "Sir, you alone know." And he says, "These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation of this life. And they've washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and they serve him day and night in his temple." They've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They have made it through the great tribulation in faith. They have persevered in the joy of the Lord. The devil would love nothing more than to crush you with pain and sorrow in this life. So saints of God, washed in the blood, hang in there. Hang in there. Don't reach for happiness. Reach for joy. Happiness will fade, but joy will come in the morning. And remember Psalm 30. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I'll end with this collect from the Book of Common Prayer. Won't you bow your head with me? Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of this world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.